Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I was going to wait. We got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana, who should be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. I was going to wait, though, and see, hey, Henry, can we share the news with our friends across Montana? Because very excited about this upcoming statewide tour that we're going to have coming up here. But I think we can at least give you a little bit of a, we can give you a warno. We can give you the warning order. We can give you the heads up on what we got coming up. It's going to be in a couple of weeks here, but I'm going to be hitting the road. We're going to be doing not just one live show on the road, not just two live shows. We're going to do four road shows in 1 week. We are going to be crisscrossing the state for the entire week. We're going to do a big rally in Missoula, big rally in Kalispell, big rally in Great Falls, Bozeman, and then we're going to wrap up the week with a rally in Billings. And we're going to be talking about the wide open southern border, this invasion on our southern border. We've got a retired Border Patrol chief who's going to be coming out to Montana to rally the troops, to address the crowd, to talk about what's going on in this country right now. So we'll have more details as those events get fully lined out. But as a result, yeah, I'm going to be looking to do a live show of Montana Talks from almost every one of those locations that we just mentioned here on the program. So anyway, we'll see Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana joining us here coming up in the next segment of the program. And then happening right now, speaking of rallies, Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat congresswoman, former Democrat presidential candidate, a fellow Iraq war veteran, Tulsi Gabbard is at a rally alongside Republican Senate candidate and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Right now, that rally is taking place in Kalispell. And if you missed it, there's another rally in Bozeman later this afternoon. I've got the full details on our Montana Talks website. And then later this hour of the show, also, we've got the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, along with the Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. They're going to join us later on around 9:40 or so to go over some interesting new numbers that have just come out regarding the number of fish in the big hole, and then also talking about, you know, just there are broader outdoor issues in southwest Montana in particular. It's been a very big topic of discussion following public meetings in the Dillon and Butte areas in particular. So a big lineup for you here this morning on Montana Talks. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana coming up right after this. And, of course, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. So stand by. Lots to talk about this morning here on the show. And speaking of the southern border, 8 suspected terrorists crossed the border, were questioned by government officials, and yet still allowed into this country. That's how bad this situation truly is.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this segment sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry Kriegel, a great freedom fighter going all the way back to the Reagan 80s. Henry, always great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
It's always great to be on here with you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I chatted with you a little bit during the break. We'll save most of the details for maybe next week. But, man, I'm so excited. We got a retired Border Patrol chief who's going to be coming out to Montana. You guys are bringing him to Montana, and we're going to be doing a series of rallies talking about border security and a much better immigration strategy as well. So those are going to be some great events coming up.
I'm looking forward to it, too. We're going to be in Kalispell, Missoula, Bozeman, and Billings, and Great Falls. So you don't want to miss this thing. It starts on Monday, June 24th in Missoula, and we wind up in Billings on the 28th. These are evening events with Chief Clem and the great Aaron Flint. There'll be a wonderful time that you connect with other freedom fighters around the state and talk about a critical issue that's affecting Montana. Every state is a border state. We have a huge fentanyl problem here in the state, particularly on the reservations, and we need to secure the border. And as you know, John Tester has done little about that. He co-sponsored a bill that was window dressing on the problem. It failed significantly in the Senate, and it's a big deal. We got to secure the border.
Well, and I know through your organization, Americans for Prosperity Action, you guys have been getting involved in this critical U.S. Senate race. Guy Benson just described it as the most important race in the country. Did you watch the debate between Tim Sheehy and John Tester? I thought our listeners were spot on when I finally watched the debate. Tim Sheehy just cleaned the floor with John Tester in that debate. He had a command of the issues, a command presence, you name it.
Yeah, I think Tim Sheehy crushed it on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I just want to ask you and everyone this morning, why in the world was a top-tier, number one U.S. Senate race debate scheduled for Sunday at 9 a.m.? Was it to decrease the number of viewers? For goodness sakes. And why was the time only released like a day before the actual debate? Was this to suppress viewership? Because John Tester looked old, sluggish, and not very well, not even healthy. Whereas Tim Sheehy, a young, new generational leader, right on, spot on the issues, policy focused, did not fall for any of the debates that Tester threw out. Didn't attack Tester as a person, but focused on the issues, and I thought did a fantastic job. Everyone needs to watch this debate, and I hope the next one, there will be more, will be televised and run live with an audience during the time when most people are available.
Yeah.
You're resting or you're in church.
That's right. Well, I know that the Montana Broadcasters Association did a great job putting it on. That's typically it was the middle of their convention, so that's when they've typically done these big types of debates. So I know it was nothing on their part in particular, but I would concur with you that everybody could have done a better job promoting the debate, that's for sure. Because I'm with you. Man, if you are John Tester, you don't want anybody watching that debate last Sunday because man, what a contrast. I mean, you have a Washington fat cat, versus a fresh-faced Navy SEAL who, just showed he commanded the issues, that's for sure. Hey, Henry, I know you wanted to talk a little bit more. There's this fake, phony newspaper that has showed up in people's mailboxes called the Montana Independent. Basically, this is a radical left-wing dark money outfit that's pretending to be running a newspaper that they are paying to have placed in people's mailboxes.
You've summarized it very well right there, Aaron. These folks claim that they have 150,000 readers in the state of Montana, making it by far the largest print newspaper readership in the state. They make no bones about their mission. They're dedicated to fostering a strong, quote, strong independent journalism that helps create positive societal change through increased public awareness of progressive issues. So they're focusing, all their articles are from a progressive liberal slant. So they will pump up John Tester and they will attack Tim Sheehy. That's what they do. In fact, their senior advisor, the highest paid staffer, over $200,000 a year, is the former president of Media Matters. These are a bunch of liberal progressive activists posing as journalists. They do have Joe Connerson, who is an author, a writer, former with the New York Observer, many years of journalism experience. Now at the helm, they've shifted chairs as president, like the chairs on the Titanic over there. But they bring in $26 million a year and spend $22 million on this propaganda posing as journalism. They take credit for the victory in the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin for that very progressive activist judge. They're playing in the state of Montana, and we should take note of the fact that if they are trying to deceive Montanans, if the left, the Pelosi, Schumer, Tester, Biden, Democrats are trying to create this newspaper and pose it as an objective news source when it really isn't. What else are they lying to us about, Aaron?
Yeah,
how many trying to deceive us about?
How many editions have they mailed out? I saw that first one back before I was in Scobie for the show earlier this spring. Have they? Do you know how many full mailers they've sent out as of this point yet?
Yes, this is the third one they've sent out.
Wow!
And the June edition, and of course, it's in the cover is an attack piece on Tim Sheehy.
Wow, third edition. That's a lot of out-of-state left-wing dark money they're using to prop up Tester. Henry, stand by. I want to get some final thoughts right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a packed lineup here this morning on Montana Talks. We've got Governor Greg Gianforte. We've got the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks coming up in a few minutes. Plus, I want to introduce many of you to Coach Barb Ehart. She was also at that rally earlier this week with Tulsi Gabbard, Riley Gaines, Selena Soule, and the rest of the female athletes there to stand up for women's sports, take back Title IX. So I want to share some of my conversation with her, with you, in just a second. First, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, whether it's helping out in this U.S. Senate race, whether it's getting involved at the legislature next session, or, you know, joining us for these Border Patrol rallies coming up, how can people get a hold of you and get involved?
Yeah, it's real easy. I'd appreciate that. You can email me at infomt, the letters MT, infomt@axphq.org to find out how you can get involved in changing the trajectory of the U.S. Senate by supporting Tim Sheehy through Americans for Prosperity Action, and how you can join us at one of our events around the state when Chief Clems comes through town through Americans for Prosperity, because we are also very much policy focused. And of course, we'll have a very strong presence up there during the legislative session, as we have had the last couple of sessions. We'll have great opportunities to make an impact on the state of Montana to ensure that individuals can enjoy freedom and opportunity in the last best place in the U.S. right here in Montana.
That's right. There's nowhere else to run to. There's nowhere else to flee to. Henry Kriegel, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. Look forward to seeing you soon. Yesterday we had Tulsi Gabbard on the show. On Monday we had Riley Gaines, the incredible female college swimming athlete who was forced to watch as a man got the women's national championship trophy instead of her, because he identifies as a woman. Anyway, he's just so outrageous. But, you know, they were there to stand up in defense of women's sports. They also called out Liberal Senator John Tester for voting against girls' sports. I got a chance to catch up with Coach Barbara Ehart. She's a former 15-year career NCAA Division I women's basketball coach. She also played in the NCAA herself, and she's currently an elected member of the Idaho House of Representatives, and she has been fighting to protect girls' sports in Idaho now for several years.
Really true. This is something that I really started to ponder in 2018 as I was listening to what was happening to the Connecticut athletes, the track athletes, and I kept thinking somebody needs to do something about this. And it was on a Sunday evening, and it just came so clearly to me that I needed to do something, that I was the former Division I women's basketball coach. I had the credentials, and I was a lawmaker. And so that set about a two-year process trying to write this legislation that no one else had. And really, to be honest, no one else really saw the problem that I saw, and they kept telling me, this is just a solution and search of a problem, and turns out, no, this is a problem.
I'll tell you what, this is so cool, this event that's coming up in Whitefish, Montana later today.
Yeah.
You're going to be there. Riley Gaines, she'll be with us coming up in the next hour. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be there. What a lineup. Talk about your event coming up in Whitefish later today.
You know, there's been some events through the last couple of years, and in 2022, we had this group, Independent Women's Forum, hook up with the coalition. You know, we'd been working. I started working with Matt Sharp. I was listening to your interview with him clear back in 2019, actually 2018, as I was trying to bring this legislation forward. And so we've had some phenomenal groups, but I'll tell you what, this idea, the Independent Women's Forum had of doing this bus tour nationally and just bringing attention to this subject and the absurdity of what the Biden administration is doing, it's just been a fantastic idea. It's been incredibly well received. People everywhere want that bus and people to, hey, can you stop along the way? Obviously, having a name like Riley Gaines, you know, coming and participating is just phenomenal. But as people start to listen to some of the other people on the bus and their stories, they're just like, wow, this is so cool. I mean, you know, we're all getting on and off in different places, but you know, if you look at that list, Nancy Hogshead, I mean, she was a 3-time Olympian, Paula Scanlon, who was a teammate of Leah Thomas, and just the absurd mental blackmail that they were put through in having to accept a guy on their team. Anyway, the stories are awesome and they're worth listening to. We even have Selena Soul, one of the original, well, the original Connecticut athlete that was the inspiration for my legislation that has now passed in, what is it, 26 states. I mean, this is amazing, and I've been blessed to testify in so many of them. As a matter of fact, Aaron, in 2021, I was invited to come up to Montana. Montana decided to follow Idaho, one of the first states to do so, and they asked me. That kind of set me on my journey of going to the various states and testifying. So I was in your state legislative body, and got to testify to this very issue, and was so proud to see Montana pass it.
Well, that's so great. Yeah, so Selena Soul, she's the one, was she Connecticut, where you had, you know,
yes,
men basically stealing trophies from women, and she was the 4-time national qualifier sprinter that the Alliance Defending Freedom ended up taking on as a client so they could fight her case with her.
That is true. And then they had Chelsea Mitchell and Amanda, I'm going to forget her last name, join on. They've got another one. But yeah, Selena and her mom, her mom came from, I'm going to forget which communist country. And, you know, her mom right away knew what was happening, could see as this is, you know, being pushed and allowed. This is a Marxist, you know, ideology. But yeah, she's been a great support. And it was, started out with one biological male, Andrea Yearwood, and then was joined by another one in Mitchell. And these two biological males at the high school level in just a year and a half dominated. They took 15 state titles, 15. And, through the course of that year and a half, 85 different opportunities stole them away with their wins and victories from the various women competing. It's just astounding how quickly this can happen. Just boom, just like that.
Well, and it's so crazy. I mean, I was just talking about how there's a district judge trying to place a man in a women's,
yes,
prison here in Montana. And the Democrats, yes, will say, oh, come on, guys, that doesn't happen here in Montana. It doesn't happen. And yes, it does. We had a man from Belgrade, Montana, running as a woman at the University of Montana and basically won a Big Sky Conference.
June Eastwood.
Yeah. 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 And it's like took an opportunity, yes, away from a young lady.
Oh, it wasn't just an opportunity. It was many opportunities in, certainly there in Montana, but June Eastwood competed for 3 years with John. And then John in the Big Sky, John gaslit everybody as June. And we have testimony from Linnea, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, but some of these Big Sky athletes that had to compete against him. And they will tell you that in some of the races in 2019, the coach said, hey, slow down as he's going by. Slow down, you're going too fast. In other words, they have handlers. And John could have won every race, but John didn't, or I'll say June, to officially change the name, June didn't.
Yeah.
But waited until the indoor mile state championship, and you can watch the footage. June annihilated our women. It was just like Leah Thomas.
Yeah.
You've got all these little girls, and then boom, here's June standing clear up there, and June just annihilated everyone. So if it hadn't been for COVID, June Eastwood would have been the first NCAA Division I champion in a women's event. So, no, Aaron, you're absolutely right. It's you know, when you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? And I'm just going to give you my perspective, if I could, real quickly, because I've been in this fight for so long. But I do see it. I think about me growing up. I was born in the 60s, grew up in the 70s, so Title IX was passed when I was eight years old. And Title IX changed my life. But it really didn't hit its full effect until the late 90s and, you know, the beginning of the 2000s. Because people like me, though we had the opportunity, we didn't have much. We didn't have what our male counterparts had. And so we kept fighting and going. We'd get the hand-me-down, you know, jerseys from the guys. And we rode the hard buses and didn't get money for meals. And I could go on and on how we had to travel in buses. You know, miles and miles and miles, excuse me there, Aaron, where our men got to fly. Just stories after stories. And yet I didn't complain because we had the opportunity. But we fought for more. And now it's like we're going right back to where we were, because this is about the redefinition of what a woman is. And the bigger reason we're doing this, Aaron, is because if you redefine and destroy what a woman is, you destroy what a mother is. When you destroy what the mother is, you destroy the family. When you destroy the family, you destroy the community. When you destroy the community, you destroy the state. When you destroy the state, you destroy the nation. This is just one of many ways that we are looking to destroy a founding principle that we have here in America. And sports, the reason that this has been so fantastic as far as opening up the eyes to people throughout the United States is because moms and dads everywhere want their daughters. It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat, Republican, black, white, rich, poor. They want their daughters to have opportunities. And so the left overplayed this one, and people have fought back. And this has allowed us to have the conversation of many other things, from our single-sex spaces and bathrooms and locker rooms and unfortunately now prisons, the transition, gender mutilation, all of that, the pronouns. It's all been able to come about and be talked about because of sports.
All right. Yeah, and that was, of course, my conversation early Monday morning with Coach Barb Ehart, a representative in the Idaho House of Representatives as well. Wasn't she great? If you missed any more of that conversation, or if you want to hear Tulsi Gabbard, Riley Gaines, I also spoke with Matt Sharp from the Alliance Defending Freedom about how, you know, they're trying to put men into women's prisons. That was a fascinating conversation. It's all on our Montana Talks website. Governor Greg Gianforte and the FWP director next.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Ranchers were eager to see what steer and heifer calves would bring on the Spear Livestock Video's Corn Belt Classic Sale. Lewistown's Kyle Shob was one of the auctioneers selling cattle on the block this week in Sioux City, Nebraska.
Steers, exceptional demand, probably 20 to 30 higher across the board than what we saw last year in this same sale. 15% of these cattle over this two-day sale were out of Montana. So a very good representation from the Big Sky Country.
Job said there was three key factors driving price discovery this week.
There are some things that start to play in maybe a little heavier than just every other year. Number one is delivery date. Number two is geographic differences. These freight costs haven't really backed off a whole lot in the last number of years. So again, we're seeing these freight costs play into that. The third is shipping terms. We're all used to certain weighing conditions and things, but there is no question this week, the top dollar calves, the buyers paid more for calves with a favorable weighing condition, bigger slides, weight stops. There is no question about that.
Chubb pointed out there were less heifers offered on the video sale this week, as some producers are maybe trying to rebuild their herds after years of drought. Those heifers averaged $1 to $3 higher than last year's sale. For my full conversation recapping the Superior Video Auction, visit the Lane Northland Ag Broadcaster Facebook page. I'm Lane Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, it's easy to talk about bad news because there's plenty of bad news to go around across the country right now with our wide open southern border and more. But let's start by talking about some good news. Looks like we have some good news out of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We've got Montana Governor Greg Gianforte on the phone lines with us, along with Director Dustin Temple from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Governor, great to have you back on the show. And first off, other good news, sailed through the primary election and will now head on to November. So congratulations on your victory, and great to have you on the show.
Aaron, it's good to be with you. And I was just pleased, people are seeing the results of our efforts on behalf of all Montanans. And you're right, this news out of the big hole, very good news. There were a lot of concerned folks. I convened a town hall down there in Wise River last year. We had fishing guides, anglers, irrigators, ag producers, biologists, researchers. They were concerned about fish populations in the big hole. FWP went to work. We combined resources with Montana State University, and I'm really encouraged by the survey numbers. We've seen more juvenile trout, which is a sign of health of this population. In fact, the four places of the river where we've been monitoring it, the juvenile trout population has doubled over anything we've seen in the last 6 years. So these trout are on the recovery. This is very good news for fishermen, for conservationists, for all of Montana.
Yeah, I saw a great quote here at KXLF-TV out of Butte. And this was a quote, I think it was from FWP fish biologist Jim Olson. And the quote basically says, "Fishermen care about big fish, and fisheries biologists care about little fish. In order to make big fish, you have to have small fish." We've also got Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Director Dustin Temple on with us. Director Temple, great to have you on the program as well.
Thank you, Aaron. Good to be here.
Well, first off, kind of what's your reaction to this these new numbers that you got, and then what else stood out to you?
Well, Aaron, as the governor said, this is a really promising development. We've been watching this changes in this fishery with concern for some time, and seeing these kinds of numbers, with these two-year-old fish coming in, the highest we've seen in 6 years, tells us that we've got a resilient resource here. We know how important all these rivers in the Jefferson Basin is. The Big Hole in particular is just an iconic Montana fishery. Someone that was born and raised in Montana, lifelong fisherman myself, it's really, really encouraging for everybody, not just anglers, but irrigators and all kinds of recreations. It's just great news.
Yeah, and then cueing the governor back up here on the conversation, I'll have you both mic'd up here. But Governor, I was kind of thinking during the break, I know how much hunting and fishing you do. You've hunted about everything you can hunt out there. You're kind of like the Teddy Roosevelt of governors when it comes to hunting and fishing. What did you hear? What stood out to you? Because I remember after that big town hall meeting you did in Southwest Montana, I remember you were saying how fired up people were and how people were more fired up and there was more public involvement in that meeting about fish than about practically any other topic out there.
Well, Aaron, let's be really clear. I mean, fishing and hunting in Montana is not an activity. It's who we are. And when you bring people together in a room, there were guides there where their very livelihood depended on the quality of that fishery. Fishermen who had a fear that maybe somehow too much pressure was being applied to the fishery and it was going to jeopardize what they did every waking moment in the summer. There were ranchers there and farmers who depend on that water for their crops, and if somehow that water was reprioritized for fish, their livelihoods would go away. So it's an understatement to say there was some passion in that standing room only audience that we had in Wise River. So, and we went to work, and I want to commend Director Temple and the researchers at Montana State University who have been just put a microscope on this fishery to really find out. Because the honest truth, last summer, we didn't really know what was going on. It was suspicion. Maybe it would be water temperatures. Was it contaminants? Was it some kind of disease? And to see this very, very strong crop of two-year-old fish in the river, more than we've seen in 6 years, is going to let everybody just rest a little easier at night.
Yeah, I remember kind of being concerned at the time. And back to FWP Director Dustin Temple. Director Temple, I mean, you've probably seen this over the years. You know, whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's a challenge, everybody wants to kind of start pointing fingers at each other. It's the fishermen that are to blame. No, it's those ranchers that are to blame. It's those farmers. It's those irrigators. That's who's to blame. And it's like, I mean, I had a great conversation with Brian Massard from Reminis Angus. And you know, he was talking about how important irrigation is, not just for the farmland and the ranchland, but how important it is for the health of the land near the river, and how that allows that water to kind of stick around a little bit longer instead of just flushing it all downstream. And so I think that's an encouraging thing here, is that maybe the finger pointing can stop, right? Did we ever find out why the numbers were lower before? You might have mentioned it. Maybe I missed it.
You know, Aaron, we're continuing, you know, the research project that we've collaborated with Montana State University is really just in its first season. So we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of questions to answer. We're fortunate in Montana to have a bunch of world-class fisheries, and I'm proud of the fact that I've got a world-class fishery staff down there working on this with Montana State University, the Cooperative Fisheries Unit, to try and answer that exact question. We know that water temperature and flows play a big factor in this. We also know that the Big Hole in particular is a model of collaboration between landowners, sportsmen, outfitters, and recreationists. You know, the conservation efforts for Arctic grayling in the upper Big Hole to keep that from being listed are dependent on that collaborative. So, you know, this is about the best place for us to engage all partners to find out what's going on and come up with a strong solution going forward.
Yeah, Governor, what else do you see going on within Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, within the FWP Commission? What are some of the goals that you have, or maybe looking back on your first term here in the last 3+ years, what are some of the kind of accomplishments that you would highlight?
Well, I think what had happened historically is landowners, sportsmen, and outfitters were kind of on opposite corners of the ring. And for the first time ever in the last legislative session, we brought them all together because we have more in common than separates us. And we ended up with a legislative package that allowed us to get more access for sportsmen, respected property rights of landowners, and made sure that our outfitters had a seat at the table to make sure their voice was heard as well. And we passed those set of legislation. That's at the high level. We're going to continue to do that because as Montanans, we have more in common than separates us. We need to come to the table and work in good faith to find solutions that represent everybody. And then yesterday when I was down on the Big Hole, I saw a project that's going to start this summer that's going to make that fishery even stronger. We looked at a spring creek. It's on private property. So here we have a private property owner collaborating with FWP and conservation dollars to improve the quality of this spring creek. And the reason that's important is the larger breeding fish come up into this spring creek, and what has happened over decades is it's gotten silted in. So there's only in the mile-long section of spring creek, there's only a couple of holes where the fish can actually spawn. So what they're going to be doing this summer, using conservation dollars, while the rainbows have just finished their spawning, the browns won't start till the fall. They're going to get in there this summer. They're going to rebuild some of those stream beds. Then that will allow the silt to wash out, exposing the gravel again. And this will be perfect a breeding habitat for the fish. In fact, I was talking to the landowner. He was out there with us yesterday. He said when he first bought that property 30-some years ago, he said it would be stacked with brown trout in the fall. You could almost, and these are his words, you could walk across the stream on the backs of the fish. That's how many were in there.
Wow.
And it has degraded. So Fish, Wildlife, and Parks this summer, working with the local biologists, we're going to rebuild that stream and turn it into literally a hatchery for the entire Big Hole River. It's not going to solve the whole problem, but these are some specific, this is a specific on-the-ground project that's going to make the Big Hole fishery even better.
Well, you talk about finding the source of a problem, or, you know, go to the headwaters instead. You know, so often we focus on the downstream effects and never get to the headwaters, never get to the source. All right, well, hold that thought. Governor Greg Gianforte and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Director Temple on the program with us right now. I've got a message from Dennis in Bozeman, and Goose in Anaconda is on the phone line. So we'll take a quick question or comment from Goose in Anaconda right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So Dennis in Bozeman sent us a message on our Montana Talks app. A question for FWP and Governor Greg about the wild hogs from north of the border. By the way, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see my latest update on that story. The super pigs, 18 miles from the North Dakota border, apparently, according to the Big Sky Business Journal. But anyway, Dennis says, can we open a wild hog season here in Montana? We'll get to that. But first, Goose in Anaconda, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I got a comment. I got a pretty good idea what's wrong with our fish, or at least one of the biggest problems. I've watched a number of videos of scientists and I believe biologists. They're claiming all the fish's bellies are empty. They're not eating any insects. And they're claiming the large reason why is because it's all the aluminum, boranium, and mercury they're spraying in our skies.
Oh, okay. So is it some sort of a pollution related deal? All right. But then again, of course, if the numbers in juvenile fish are up now, well, what would that say? Either way, Director Temple, we'll throw that one to you. I'll cue up the governor here as well. Yeah, go ahead, Director Temple.
Yeah, so, you know, part of our research effort with Montana State University involves monitoring water quality. So we're looking at all the factors that could potentially affect fish health. And we're working hard to answer that question. But again, as I mentioned earlier, this research project is just in its first season.
So in terms of looking at any air pollution or stuff coming out of airplanes, there's nothing in this analysis that suggests that yet, at least, right?
Yeah, we don't have any conclusions as of yet as it relates to the research on the Big Hole.
Yeah, these super pigs, the wild hogs. I had the MSU Extension agent for wildlife, Jared Beaver, on a while back. Very informative guy. I thought he explained well why a lot of folks recommend against a wild hog season. As fun as a wild hog hunting season sounds, the fear is that that would actually encourage this invasive species that we don't want to get here in Montana. It would threaten our land. It would threaten agriculture and more. Am I correct with that assessment?
That is correct. You know, the consensus generally is if you don't have them and they show up, you want to employ other control methods other than hunting so you don't disperse that species and create a bigger problem for yourself.
Governor Gianforte, your thoughts on either of the two topics that just came up?
Well, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of what is driving fish populations, in this case, up or down, including any contaminants in the river. That's the point of the research. On the hogs, I defer to the biologists at FWP. Generally, trapping is a better way to eradicate these pigs. You shoot at them, they go nocturnal, they scatter, and be careful. They're like rabbits. I mean, these pigs have two litters a year of 8 to 12 piglets each. They're sexually mature at 6 months or so. They expand rapidly, and you don't want them on the landscape because of the damage they do to agriculture. Many parts of the country are dealing with it. As much fun as it would be to go out and hunt them, there's better ways to keep them off the landscape.
Yeah, that was kind of another question that came up when we had Jared Beaver on from MSU Extension, you know, because listeners were like, hey, well, what about if you see one, shoot one? And the concern that, Mr. Beaver expressed was, well, if you do that, you don't get all of them, and we'd rather have a specialized team go out to make sure we get rid of every single one of them instead of you shoot one and then the rest scatter, right?
Correct.
All right. Director Temple, anything else you want to share with our listeners or maybe talk a little bit about your background prior to being director of FWP?
Well, in terms of FWP issues, I'd like to get out there. You know, our mule deer advisory group is having their third meeting this week, and we'll be looking for recommendations from that group soon to inform the new mule deer plan. And as we move through that process in the next month or so, we're going to be actively engaging the public, looking for their comments, wanting to know what people want to see in mule deer management across Montana as we write a new plan for mule deer. Reasons for concern about mule deer populations in various parts of the state, again, like the Southwest Montana fisheries issue, it's a high priority to the department. Put a lot of resources into that, trying to figure out exactly what's going on, understand the public expectation for mule deer management, and get solid science-based recommendations to the commission for their consideration.
All right. Well, Director Temple, great to have you on the program. Governor Greg Gianforte, we got about a minute to go before we run out of time. Anything else you want to share with folks all across Montana?
Well, I just want to, you know, reiterate that hunting and fishing is not some activity we squeeze in. It's who we are as Montanans, and that's why we take the work at FWP so seriously, why when we're making big decisions, we're soliciting public input, like on this mule deer plan that's coming up. There'll be an opportunity for people to make their thoughts known. Commission meetings are open to the public, and there are members of the public there at every one of those meetings. There are different issues in different parts of the state, and I would just encourage people to make their thoughts known so we can do the best job we can for all of Montana.
Well, great having both of you on the show with us this morning. Thanks for your time, and definitely want to talk more fish, wildlife, and parks issues down the road. We had a great conversation up in Malta last December talking about out-of-state hunters and how do we balance that support for tourism but also support for local hunting opportunities as well. So let's continue the conversation for sure. Big thanks to the governor and FWP Director Temple. Let's see. Yeah, we're already out of time for today. Freedom Friday tomorrow. What are we going to talk about? Why don't you tell me? Why don't you call in? I think we'll have open phones tomorrow.